Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
These are the days you live for. As a fan of sports, as a radio personality, as a member of the media, right here, right now, these are the days you live for. Raider Nation, we have breaking news. It has just surfaced in the last few moments. The Raiders and Seahawks have agreed to terms on a trade that will send running back Marshawn Lynch to the Oakland Raiders. In addition, the Raiders and Marshawn Lynch have agreed to terms on a 2-year contract. We have got a lot to get to on this very topic, so we're going to get right into it. Here's Dibs with your update.
And Joe, that of course is the top story. Marshawn Lynch will become an Oakland Raider today. He's currently traveling back from a mission in Haiti once he arrives and goes through a physical at the facility in Alameda, puts pen to paper. Marshawn Lynch will officially come home. He will get a reported $3 million plus another $2 million if he gains 1,000 yards. That was the initial contract terms that were laid out late last week. More on the Marshawn Lynch story as it continues to develop. The news broke about 20 minutes ago that Marshawn Lynch is expected to sign and become an Oakland Raider today. Story number two, two runs enough for LA as they even the series with the Giants.
And that's the ball game.
So, Dwayne Kuiper, the call from NBC Sports Bay Area.
Tell Kuiper to lay off the Red Bull.
Christian Arroyo, his first MLB hit. Buster Posey extends his hit streak to 11 games. Brandon Crawford hurt his groin. He's gone the next 3 days on the bereavement list. Story number three, the A's with a similar result.
Here's the 0-1 pitch by Ryan. The kick, and it's swung on line to left center. Decker can't make the play, and this game's going to be over. Around third to score is Espinoza. The throw to the plate is not in time, and the Angels beat the A's 2-1 on a line drive base hit to left center field in the bottom of the 11th inning by Cole Calhoun.
Ken Korak, the call here on 95.7 The Game. Josh Fegley, solo homer in the defeat. Sean Manaea against Matt Shoemaker today. Jesse Hahn allowed just one hit over eight innings in a game that was scoreless after nine. The update brought to you by East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Expand your comfort zone in the spacious Mini Countryman today at East Bay Mini in Pleasanton. Visit eastbaymini.com, eastbaymini.com. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home for the Golden State Warriors, they'll be back in action either Sunday or Tuesday once the Jazz Clipper series is over. You'll hear it here on 95.7 The Game.
He's back after a one-year hiatus from the National Football League. Marshawn Lynch is returning. Here are the terms of the deals that have taken place this morning. If you're just joining us, welcome in. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. The Seahawks and Raiders have agreed to terms on a trade that will send Marshawn Lynch to Oakland. Details are still emerging, but it's reported to be a swap of late-round picks in 2018. In addition, Lynch and the Raiders have reached an agreement on a 2-year deal, the money of which I'm sure we'll find out soon enough. Forget about all that for the moment. The Raiders got their man. Lynch is back in the fold. The running back position has been addressed. Low right now, the Raiders are better than they were yesterday, are they not?
No question they are, man. You go out and you get a guy, beast mode. The Skittles are going to be flowing at the Coliseum. The Black Hole's going to be rocking.
Black Skittles.
Oh, Black Skittles. Oh, my God. I won't eat them because we don't like black licorice.
That's right. Only black water.
Black water is a must in the Neil's house. I'll tell you right now, though. I'll tell you what. Raider fans have to be elated and excited. This guy is going to bring a toughness to this offense. You look at the backs that they have. Yes, the backs are they're flashy. They can get things done. They're great out of the backfield. They run great in between tackles. Do a lot of things. But who's that boy alpha dog in that backfield? Now you got a guy, Marshawn Lynch, beast mode. You know one thing. he's going to bring a physical attitude and a physical mentality to this offense.
Give me his role. Give me his role for the Raiders this season. Assuming he's healthy, he's ready to go. You got the two youngsters, Rashard and Washington. Nice little depth chart right now.
Yeah.
What is the role of Marshawn Lynch beginning in week one?
I'll tell you what, I think they're going to emerge him in this offense slowly, but it's going to be calculated and it's going to be on him. The more he begins to eat and the more you see that beast mode starting to get in that form and start to miss it, it's going to start out 8 to 12 carries and it's going to get up, you know, 10 to 15. And in due time, those big days where he's feeling it, he'll get that 20 carries. But I think it's going to be a 10 to 15 tote a game. And Marshawn Lynch, the more he eats, the better he gets. And the better he gets, the more they'll continue to feed him.
Dibs, once again, the best deals get done at the deadline. Put a little pressure on both parties. Eventually, you'll come off your talking points, your sticking points, your negotiating points a little bit. You'll meet in the middle, and boom, we got a deal. We're just over 24 hours away from the draft. The Raiders and Lynch have agreed to terms.
It's exciting, and I think at the very least, symbolically for Oakland Raiders fans, this is a good deal. And until he goes out there and if he struggles and they have to move off of him, still the symbolic nature of this, I think, is very important for Oakland Raider fans right now to have the native son come back, to be a place, a destination where a veteran like Marshawn Lynch would want to be. 4 or 5 years ago, this was not a destination for any free agent except for a guy looking for that last money grab so he can play out his career at 75%. So this is an exciting move for a number of different reasons. I hope Lowe's right that he can get 12 and 15 carries a game and get you 60 yards and a touchdown and really be productive. But we have to remember, he hasn't played much in the past 15 months. He hasn't played at all.
Great point right there. Number two, he turned 31 years of age just 4 days ago. So to get him up to speed, let's talk upside. What's the upside for Marshawn Lynch this season? If you're giving him 10 to 15 carries, if he is going to be your featured back, can we talk about a 1,000-yard season? Can he effectively replace Latavius Murray, I guess is what I'm asking, Lowe.
I want to be able to go out to practice, Joe, and I want to be able to watch him. I want to see what he's doing, and we got to get him on the show. We're going to definitely reach out and bring this guy on the show. I don't know what his work ethic is. I want to know what's his trainer. I want to know what this guy's putting in his body. I want to see what he's doing. I want to be able to go out, when we go out to training camp, be able to watch him run in between tackles. One thing that I'm happy about him, and the difference between about Maurice Jones-Drew when he came here and his end of his career, he was just hanging on. Here's a guy that was upset in Seattle. Upset because of the play that everyone knows.
Super Bowl.
Yep. And then the year after, heart wasn't in it. But here's a guy that's been wanting to play. Here's a guy that wants to play for the Raiders. Here's a guy, because of who he is, down, just he's got that boy dog in him, and he's a little older boy dog, but because he's so hungry and he wants to be here, he does not want to let the Raider fans down. This is not a guy just saying, okay, I'm just going to play and collect this check. If he's going to be out there, trust me, you're going to get a motivated, inspired guy that wants to get it done. Because his last time on the field, Joe, it wasn't good. What, 500 yards total that last season? So you're going to have a motivated Marshawn Lynch. Now I just want to see, watch him get in shape, watch him get back in football shape, watch him doing training camp, and we'll start to see this guy, see if he has it or not.
Dibs, let me paint a picture for you. It's mid-September. It's warm. We're in the East Bay. Week one. The Raiders, tough game against Tennessee, but they emerge victorious. They're 1-0. Here come the New York Jets. First home game of the season at the Coliseum. You, enjoying yourself in the dirt lot. Lowe and I, probably over with Raider Dave and the crew. Maybe we'll stop by Big Joe C's. They'll have us.
No question. Punch
some of that tequila off them. You'll come over and meet us. Dirt lot, Raider Dave, we'll bring them all together. We'll get tuned up. We'll make our way into the Coliseum. It's the Jets. It's the Raiders. The Raiders are a big favorite. Probably about 7-8 points in this game. Raiders get the ball first after the kickoff. They come out, 25-yard line. Crowd's getting loud. First carry of the season at home. Marshawn Lynch off tackle, 5 yards.
Love it. And he's going to wind up just behind where third base is in deep short, I would imagine. And, you know, Marshawn's going to burst through the hole. He's going to make contact with the linebacker. And they're both going to spill right into short left field. And it's going to be awesome. And he's going to get up. The crowd's going to go bananas. And Marshawn will make some gesture to the crowd. It'll be 2nd and 6. And it'll feel right. This is a guy who obviously made his name in Oakland, then made his name in Berkeley. and to have him come home to the Bay Area at a time where the Raiders are beyond relevant. This team is legit. This is legitimately a Super Bowl contender. It's going to be an amazing year.
He doesn't want to fall on that dirt, though. No. Trust me.
Well, who does?
Yeah. So he's going to probably run over a couple people. He's close to that
just
dirt.
To get off shortstop.
Just to get off shortstop.
He's got a great story about that. When he played with San Diego, how he'd come up. He's like, you have two options. You're either going to go down early, or you're going to try to pick up an extra 12 yards to avoid that dirt because it hurts. Plenty more on the Marshawn Lynch deal coming up. And how does it affect the Raiders and their draft day plans? We're just over 24 hours away from the 2017 NFL Draft. It's Joe, it's Low, it's Dibs, and it's your calls if you want to weigh in. 888-957-9570 right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe, Low, and Dibs.
What a day this is going to be. We were having a good time in the pre-show. We're working out some draft angles. We're trying to break down what's going to happen at 2, what's going to happen at 24. We've got Oklahoma City, Houston to discuss, Utah and the Clippers, the update on Bumgarner, the Giants, the A's. There's so much going on. And then 10 minutes before we go on air, breaking news, Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders, Dibs. These are the days you live for in this industry, are they not?
Absolutely. I mean, already we're so hyped up for the draft, and it's kind of comes at a nice time because the Warriors are on hiatus, and you can say hiatus because they may not play until Tuesday. It looks like Utah's going to close that thing out, so likely the Warriors and Utah Sunday for game one. It's obviously not official, but in the meantime, you got the draft and all those things you laid out, and now this Marshawn Lynch hot potato, which thank God this is happening because every day that's dragged out, Joe, it seemed somehow less likely that it actually would come to pass.
This radio program is in the process of reaching out to Skittles to figure out how they can make a special silver and black package to welcome Beast Mode to the East Bay, or should I say back to the East Bay. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Your calls are welcome. 888-957-9570. Before we jump to those, Low, the addition of Marshawn Lynch, now that he's in the fold, silver and black bound, how does this alter Oakland's draft plans? Was it possible they may have thought running back in the first round if this didn't go through? You're probably thinking they were considering a running back at some point in the draft. Does this address that completely?
Yeah, it makes them get a running back later than sooner. And they definitely would is going to get a big back and look try to find something in the draft. Now they can bring one in, undrafted guy, because you do – It puts a less stress on management to try to bring in a guy because you know Marshawn Lynch hopefully can fill that role. So what they're going to do now, Joe, is they're going to hopefully see where Marshawn's at. It's going to now let them say, hey, we can concentrate more on our defensive side of the ball. So they need to focus on that anyway because we know our defense needs to get better. So this is just a great move. Great move for the fans. Great move for the organization. Now Marshawn Lynch, if he can hold up his end of the bargain, I'll tell you right now, this changes some things because if he can – come out there, and we're talking about a game in Tennessee that I'd said, hey, look, this is a game that I got Tennessee winning. Marshawn Lynch has to have 60, this running back, they have to have over 100-yard rushing to beat Tennessee. So, and now you have a guy now that is a chain mover that if you're going to play against a defense in Tennessee, got a pretty good front four, and they can get after you. So now all the pressure is not on Carr, which sometimes it is. You have a guy that can move the chains. It changes the dynamic. So now you got a guy that can help get this team to get that 110 yards plus a game. So this is a big addition.
What does this do for Derek Carr? How much better does he get with the addition of Marshawn Lynch?
If Marshawn Lynch is 80% of what he was 2 years ago, it helps immensely because now you can't sit back there and play cover two. You can't sit back there and play some soft zones. You better bring down a safety, and he got to stay. He can't get nosy. He's got to keep his nose in that box. He can't cover the pass. So you're going to have now the tight ends, especially, and receivers in the different crossing routes. You're going to have a lot more windows open because teams can't sit back and play zone. If Marshawn Lynch is still that beast and can still move the chains, you're now going to have to crowd the line. The safeties are going to have to play more in the box because you know what he can do, and that's break a lot of arm tackles. So this is big for this offense.
We live in a day and age in the NFL which is very pass happy. It's why there's so much emphasis placed on the quarterback position. And what that's done defensively to teams is take you out of base packages. Back in the day, 4-3, 3-4, that meant so much. What are you running now? Hybrid. More importantly, your sub packages. You see a lot more nickel and a lot more dime than you ever have in the past because you're anticipating the pass. So as a result, what are you doing? You're taking a linebacker off the field, bringing another cover guy in. Well, that takes one more guy out of the box, like you're talking about, freeing up running lanes for guys like Marshawn Lynch. The counter to that would be, well, we need to put another linebacker in there. We can't let Marshawn Lynch pick up five at a clip. Okay. That opens up the secondary for a guy like Derek Carr to make it rain.
It definitely will help him there. And as long as Marshawn Lynch and the other two running backs can be versatile in their ability to pick up the blitz, go out and run pass routes, then Derek Carr can continue to be a two-way threat. With that offensive line that they have, you can't help but imagine this team will be better with leads, too, in the third and fourth quarter. Use the young, quick guys early. Fourth quarter, win in time. You've got the great offensive line. You've got Marshawn Lynch and an ability to run clock and churn out first downs and put teams away.
Lo, what does this do for Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington? Two youngsters. They've got 1 year under their belt. You're bringing in one of the great running backs of the last 10-plus years the NFL's seen. Physical, powerful, understands how to lead an offense, understands how to win, has been to a Super Bowl, has won a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl, and at the same time is the architect of one of the greatest plays in playoff history when he drug, all of the city of New Orleans to the end zone in the earthquake play. What does this do for the youngsters?
Instant credibility for Marshawn Lynch and instant credibility that's going to have that running back room now look and say, there go that mayor, mama. There go that man. You're going to see guys when he walks into the building. There's guys that looked at him and seen him in college, and now you have a running back that everyone's going to respect. It's going to be whispers. Defense going to be, okay, we got the 9-on-7 today. They're going to put on their big boy pads. Marshawn, you ain't going to make me look, put you on your highlight tape. Now, excuse me, you're going to have practice intensity up. You're going to make that defense better because now linebackers are one-on-one drills, pass pro. Marshawn Lynch hit them. They're going to be highlighting it. You're going to have – it's going to bring a different energy, bro. It's going to have the running back room now even Mike, because it's Marshawn Lynch in that running back room. Even though he's not the player that he used to be, I'm telling you, bro, when a guy of that nature walk into a running back room, now the coach is looking and say, my God, that's Marshawn Lynch in here. Coaches respect guys like that because he's already put in the time. I'm telling you right now, it brings instant credibility to a running back room.
Phone lines are open, 888-957-9570. We go to Hercules. Shout out, Hercules. We love you here on the program. Luis, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? To me, it's kind of like a bittersweet feeling. Like, the first reaction I got was I just got, like, a flashback of high school, like, halfway through the senior year, you know, got the prom coming up, the graduation, had a good fun with the fellas, with the chicks, with the sports. But, you know, it's coming to an end. Like, it's kind of like you want to enjoy it, but at the same time, you're looking at, like, next year, it's going to be, it's, all this is not going to be here. See what I'm saying? Like, it's uncharted waters to where, like, you know what you want to hope for and what you want to dream for, what you want to reach for, but at the same time, ain't nothing given to you. So I'm kind of, like, in our case, it's more like 2 years, possibly, maybe shorter. But it's just, I mean, I'm happy, but then I really can't enjoy it how I want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what my follow-up question was going to be. How hard is it for you to go all the way in on this to get excited? 5 years ago, if the team's in this position and they make this move, we're all out in the streets. We're drinking in the afternoon. Yeah. We're going nuts talking about the Super Bowl. Now it's like, well, it's great, but it's the elephant in the room.
Exactly. And it's like, I feel as though you guys could really relate to it because I know you guys are among the people. Shout out Dibs, shout out Cornball, shout out Low. Like, you guys are really, like, out there with the people. And I've seen it. If I ain't seen it, I heard of it. So it's like, I know you guys kind of got to feel where we coming from as far as homers. Like, you know, we were happy. You know, this guy, Sean, Ben, you know, he never left the town. You know, even when he was in Seattle, he was in Buffalo, he still came and messed with his people. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like he never really left. So he was going to come anyway. But it's kind of like, dang, like, I want to, you know, do like everything you just said, pop the bottles, drink, enjoy, and be like, oh, can't wait, start tailgating like tomorrow. But it's like, man, like, I don't know, man. Shout out to you guys.
Thank you, Luis. I feel that. My only advice is just live in the moment. Don't worry about what the future holds and things you can't control. And for now, just enjoy Marshawn here, and hopefully he can bring a ring.
What's the likelihood we could call the Coliseum and get them to start the Week 2 tailgate this afternoon? Can we start tailgating for Week 2 later today, maybe around 1:30?
That's a super question. Excuse me, when do the gates open for that Raider-Jet game?
Well, the A's are down in Anaheim. No. The Jet game in September. We're ready. We've got our grill. Shout out, Kurt, Bad Boys of Barbecue. We know you're listening. One of the other tailgates that has treated us so well in the past. Tom Pelissero, NFL writer for USA Today. He's going to join us on Marshawn Lynch and the draft. What do the Raiders do at 24? What are the Niners thinking at 2? Joe Lowe and Dibs, back in a flash. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
If you've been with us since 6, welcome back. If you're just joining us now, here's the latest. Marshawn Lynch and the Raiders have agreed to terms. The Raiders and the Seahawks have agreed to terms, the details of which are as follows. The Seahawks and Raiders will be swapping late round 2018 picks in exchange for Lynch to join the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders and Lynch have agreed to terms on a 2-year deal. Details are still emerging, but what we're looking at, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network, is that Marshawn this season will be getting a $3 million base with a chance to make $2 million more if he gains 1,000 yards. What they call a likely to be earned bonus because he's gained 1,000 yards in the past. For more on that and the NFL draft as well, Tom Pelissero, terrific NFL writer for USA Today. He's also a radio host on Sirius XM. Follow him on Twitter at Tom Pelissero with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Tom, the deadline was approaching for the NFL draft. The Raiders and Marshawn Lynch have agreed to terms. How much does this improve the Raider roster, in your opinion, heading into the 2017 season?
Well, the first thing you got to see is just what Marshawn looks like as he comes back. Remember, his last year playing with Seattle in 2015, he was pretty beat up. You know, that guy keeps himself in awfully good shape. He's obviously been a powerful runner throughout his career, but he's not the youngest guy at this point. I want to see what the guy looks like coming back. I mean, they've been trying to get this deal done over the past week, and he was out there building wells and houses in Haiti. They couldn't even get a hold of the guy. He's had other priorities, you know, that he's been working with. I certainly think that if he can channel the 2014 Marshawn Lynch, that's going to be a boost to the team, because Latavius Murray, for all the things he did well, you know, and he was a big guy, but he was not the most powerful runner. He kind of needed to catch a crease. Marshawn, at his height, did not need to catch a crease. If you get a guy who can kind of open his own holes at times, running behind a really good offensive line, that clearly would be a boon to him. But you know, let's see how the guy looks when he comes back and figure out exactly how much the Raiders, for one thing, are going to try to use him.
Do you think the Raiders still would add an extra piece to the running back room depth-wise late in this draft, or do you think that they're going to be all set now at that position?
I'd be surprised if they didn't draft somebody. It's a really deep running back class. I don't even know about late. I mean, I could see him in the mid rounds just because of the value that you potentially could get out of that position. You know, some of the good backs that could go down to the second and third and fourth round. I think you have to analyze all those options. Again, Marshawn, you know, contracts at his age tend to be 1-year deals regardless. So you're not thinking this is a long-term plan. This is a short-term. You're hoping to get a boost out of it. You still got to be able to plan going forward with your young core surrounding Derek Carr. Yeah, I think that they bring in another back, but I think that you're going to see a lot of teams in the league bringing in a back in this draft.
When you're looking at the Raiders and you're thinking about their draft, where they're picking late in the first round, and not just that, throughout the draft, what are some of the needs, the pressing needs, if you're an Oakland Raiders? What do you think they need, and what's the most pressing need in your opinion?
Well, I think that this is probably the first time since Reggie McKenzie got there that you don't look at their roster and say they've got this hole and that hole and that hole. I think that their options are open because they've finally built some depth and sort of a base for that entire team on both sides of the football. I do think that certainly if you look at on defense and at the linebacker position and trying to get another edge player in there, given what's played out with Aldon Smith, trying to get somebody who can take a little bit of the heat in the pass rush off of Khalil Mack. They tried to do that last year with Bruce Irvin. I think that, you know, linebackers and edge players certainly have to be in that mix. And this might be a draft where, you know, maybe it's a guy like Jerod Davis who potentially would go higher if he didn't have some injury issues that teams have been looking into. A guy like that, I think, could be intriguing for Oakland where they're picking.
Tom Pelissero, NFL writer for USA Today, radio host on Sirius XM with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You had a tremendous piece on California quarterback Davis Webb, and his preparation for the draft. It's just all the way around. It's a terrific piece. We've had the luxury of following Davis over the last year, had some big-time games for the Bears this season, had some struggles, like most kids, this season as well. What do you think the likelihood is that someone goes out there and picks him in the first round? It sounds crazy on the surface, but now that we live in a day and age where first-round picks, teams have the ability to pick up a fifth-year option, taking a shot on a quarterback is so much more reasonable, is it not?
Well, I think there's certainly value in it. Just having that, you know, if you look at the value of that contract over 5 years and what you're paying relative to the veteran market, you certainly can make that argument. The question is going to become, is somebody so in love with Davis Webb that they think that that is worthwhile? I mean, I've talked to people who, you know, absolutely think he's going to climb into the bottom of the first. I've also talked to other people, you know, people who have studied him throughout his career who say that they're baffled that we're having the discussion about Davis Webb as a first-round pick. And that's where, when I talked to Cliff Kingsbury a couple of weeks ago, and he had the line about this guy is a sociopath work ethic guy, you know, that set the bells off in my head of this is probably how this guy has sort of put himself in this position. So talking to everybody that Webb has worked with going back to middle school and high school and the two colleges he played at, everybody says, so he has this rare live in the room quality to him. He's a, you know, a hoarder of football knowledge. He has his own playbook that has hundreds of run and pass concepts in it that he's been building. Wants to be a coach someday. There are concerns about his accuracy being sporadic. That's the number one thing that you hear. He puts the ball on the ground too much. You know, when he's pushing the ball down the field, that's not something he's been consistent with. He thinks it's about mechanical inefficiency. He's attacked that like he attacks every other hole in his game or everything else that he's trying to accomplish. I certainly think, just sitting down with him in his parents' house down there in Prosper, Texas, this guy projects like a coach. I have more doubts about Davis Webb being a successful NFL quarterback than him being a successful college or NFL coach. I think he's a really, really sharp guy, and I can see why teams would start falling in love with him when they get him in the room.
Tom, my dad always told me every bee that ever was partly sting and partly buzz. Mitchell Trubisky. What is it with this guy? I hear a lot of people talking about raving reviews. You look at quarterbacks that only have 13 games of starting experience. Look at Mark Sanchez. You see what happened, USC, what kind of career he had in the NFL. Ooh, tell me about Trubisky.
I'm still wrapping my head around that B metaphor. That was deep right there.
imagine hearing it three times a week, Tom.
They're hating on the ex-NFL player, Tom. Don't let them throw me under the bus, Tom.
I'd say this on Trubisky. The biggest thing with him is, unlike some of the other top quarterbacks, he's accurate. He's the most accurate passer in the class. There certainly is a thinking in the scouting community that guys are going to be reluctant to put a really high grade on somebody who only had 13 starts. Everybody, and I mean everybody, has dug into the reasons that, you know, he sat behind a non-prospect in Marquise Williams for a couple of years. I mean, why did that happen? Why didn't he take the job sooner? And, you know, you don't get a straight answer. You know, I know that when area scouts and other people have looked into it, they hear different things from different people, but there certainly seems like there was a political aspect to it. And the way that one personnel guy put it to me was, nobody's going to let Larry Fedora make the decision for them on who they're going to take in the first round. They're not going to not take a guy who they like on tape because the coach in North Carolina refused to play him for a couple of years. I think that, you know, Trubisky, he's a different personality. He's not an alpha male type of leader. He's a quieter guy. If you think of Eli Manning's personality, that's probably pretty close to, you know, what you're getting with Trubisky. Just, you know, a little bit on the bland side, but teammates love him. That's a big thing. Teammates love him. He's an accurate passer. And in a quarterback class where everybody needs some development, you know, having the first quarterback off the board be somebody coming from a fairly simplistic spread offense is not the most shocking thing.
Dynamite stuff. NFL writer for USA Today, radio host on Sirius XM, and you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Pelissero. Tom Pelissero with Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Tom, we know you're busy this week. Thank you for your time and insight. We'd greatly appreciate it. Hopefully we can catch up again soon.
You got it, fellas.
Tom, and you can use that anytime you want. Low Neil, buddy.
Let's make sure Tom knows he can use the bee buzz. Is it an allegory? Is that what that is?
It's just like a little old school saying, a little rhyme, and it's great.
Dibs. Thank you.
He needs the green light on that, because that's some A1 material.
I like it.
I do too.
Big Glenn's full of them. He had a lot of good lines. Here's what we're going to do next. We're going to continue with Marshawn Lynch, and if you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. We're also going to get into the NFL draft. We had a discussion this morning, amongst other things, about the Niners, about the Raiders, and about certain moves that could be coming in tomorrow's first round. I think the mainstream media is leading you astray. We're here to bring it all back on track. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warrior Wednesday. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Jameis Winston,
quarterback, Florida State. The Houston Texans select Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end, South Carolina.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Fisher, tackle, Central Michigan.
The Indianapolis Colts select Andrew Luck, quarterback, Stanford.
The Carolina Panthers select Cam Newton. The St. Louis Rams select Sam Bradford, quarterback, Oklahoma.
The Detroit Lions select Matthew Stafford, quarterback.
The Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
San Francisco 49ers select Alex Smith, quarterback, Utah.
Houston Texans select David Carr, quarterback from Fresno State.
The Indianapolis Colts select quarterback, University of Tennessee, Peyton Manning.
2017 NFL Draft is right around the corner. Tomorrow night, we will have a special draft program right here on 95.7 The Game. Greg Papa will anchor the program. Bonte Hill and myself will be joining him. Thank you for joining us. Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The Marshawn Lynch news has taken over the program. Your calls are welcome on the program. 888-957-9570. Brian in Ohio on Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? What's going on?
A lot. Marshawn Lynch. And we're trying to get Skittles to put together some silver and black special edition to send our way.
It's 9:50 in the morning. I got work in 10 minutes. I got Skittles right here in my cup holder.
Nice. If it's 9:50, where are you?
Ohio.
I'm right. In Ohio, man.
Maybe I should have paid attention to that.
But I'm super excited. I'm really, really excited for the city of Oakland. First off, I know I'm from Ohio and I'm not from there, and this move's a little different for me. But, you know, since I was 8 years old, me and my dad, he's been a 25-year season ticket holder. We've been coming out to two games a year. He's been taking me there as a little kid. And I'm just not going to be able to have that experience one day when I have a kid. That upsets me. But let's get back to the good news today. I really, really think that it's a great move. I think DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard are really, really going to learn from him more. They were rookies last year, and they, you know, came out of nowhere. For me, Richard especially, I want to make a little comparison too. I am a Cavs fan, a LeBron fan. I followed LeBron all the way through St. V's. When he came home and he brought that championship to Cleveland last year, I cried. I bawled my eyes out. It was one of the most awesome experiences of my life.
Get to the point. You think we want to hear about Game Seven?
No, I know. But if Marshawn brings a ring to Oakland, I think that'll ultimately trump LeBron to Cleveland for me, and I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Much better. That's how you bring it back on track, Brian. That's how you bring it back on
now
track.
Now get to work, Brian. Yeah. You're late. It's 10 to 10, Brian.
All right, guys.
Have a good one. Thanks for calling.
You never know if it's like someone who might be really crafty, who baits you into thinking it's about one thing and then tries to poke the needle. So you let it go a little bit, try to show some respect, but then, you know, you start crying. Get the hell out of here with the Cleveland stuff.
Yeah.
Right. We appreciate that you're from Ohio and that you want to talk Raiders. Game 7, we're past it. We'll meet in a few weeks.
If you want to talk how the Sabercats beat the Gladiators in 07 in the Arena Bowl, we can talk about it. But get your Cav talk out of here.
All right, we'll be taking your calls throughout the day. Marshawn Lynch to the Raiders. It looks like it is all but a done deal. Just a few more things. Lynch has to pass the physical, and it all goes through. Late round picks will be swapped between the Seahawks and the Raiders in 2018. That gets Lynch to the Raiders, and then it's a two-year deal. Details are still coming out, but the total package looks to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $8 million, which includes incentives. One of those incentives being this season, $3 million as a base, $2 million more if Lynch can gain 1,000 yards. That's per Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. NFL draft right around the corner. You've got the speculation at an all-time high. Lo, we were kicking around a lot of concepts this morning. I want to start with the quarterback situation. Hugh Jackson, Cleveland, Mitchell Trubisky. We've been all over the board with Trubisky, our emotions, how we feel about this. Explain something to me. Will he be the first quarterback off the board tomorrow night in Philadelphia?
No.
You don't think so?
No, he will not, Joe. I really don't think so. And not because the guy is not capable of being a good quarterback. He's big. He's physical. Can make all the throws. He's a nice piece. I think it's going to be the latter because of the things that he hasn't yet accomplished, and that's only 13 games starting. It, to me, Joe, I look at this, and it's no different than high school. You look at the progression of a young freshman who's a very talented kid that comes in. You're a freshman. They move you up to varsity or JV. So now you're a freshman playing varsity. Your numbers, you still might be able to play, but will you be able to play that well? And you're talking about the maturation. It takes time. So that's no different. You have a guy that was coming out early, only 13 starts. Think how much many starts as a freshman. You're playing freshman ball, and you're playing varsity. Only get 13 starts. The next year, you're going to get better. The following year, you're even going to get better. This guy only has for 13 starts. There's a lot of part of the game, and every college kid that come out that they haven't seen. It's not like the NFL. I get that. But I'd rather have a guy that's more seasoned, a guy that's played more, a guy that's had a bigger stage, and a guy that can make all the throws and also can do things with his feet and get out of trouble, get out of harm's way, and is still a pocket passer. So to me, I think it's no question that it's going to be Watson. Just Watson will be the first quarterback off the board, and I think he's gone within the first five picks.
Here's what I can't reconcile. Coming into the 2016 college football season, we knew Deshaun Watson was a baller. We knew he had the opportunity to win the Heisman. We were all well aware of who he was based on what we saw against Alabama in the national title game the year before. You knew this kid had potential. He had one more season to play out. Let's see what he does. Bit of a slow start, but gets better and better and better, culminating with two dominant playoff performances, the latter of which was a national championship win over Alabama. He needed to make a big-time play in the final seconds of the game to win that. He made that play. You can't ask for more pressure. A lot of times you want to test youngsters in all walks of life. Maybe it's radio, maybe it's accounting, maybe it's professional sports. Test how they operate under pressure. That's what the combine's all about. Watson has shown you he can operate under pressure. He wins, he produces, he's smart, he got his degree in 3 years at Clemson, and now he's ready to go pro. Yet the second we start the process, no one wants to talk about him. Flip side, no one knew who the hell Mitchell Trubisky was coming into the season. He didn't do a whole lot during his time at North Carolina. The team was okay. He didn't light up any big defenses. He lost his bowl game, which wasn't even a marquee game. And then as soon as we got into January, suddenly it was, hey, take a look at this kid from North Carolina. Look at A, B, C, D, and E. I'm under the impression, call me a conspiracy theorist, that the media kind of clung to this dude, and NFL teams realized that this was the ultimate smokescreen. That if the media is already pumping Trubisky, let's all just jump on the train. All these teams love Trubisky. Cleveland having an internal struggle over Mitchell Trubisky. The Niners could really use Mitchell Trubisky in Shanahan's system. The Bears are really interested in Mitchell Trubisky at three, and it goes on down the list. Meanwhile, nobody is out there talking about Watson. I think this is the ultimate banana in the tailpipe dips.
And that's what the draft has come to be, though. Every year, it's at least one player, if not multiple players, that teams conveniently use as a smokescreen and as a way to, in the Niners' case, maybe draw interest in that number two pick. Because if you're threatening to take Mitchell Trubisky, or any quarterback for that matter, a team that really wants the hot quarterback or that pick is going to jump up and trade for the 49ers pick. And for the other teams involved, it doesn't hurt you to float rumors through the media. And what are these reporters and writers doing? They're waiting for that call. So they get the call from their source who says, you know, we like this kid from North Carolina. And then the writer writes about it, and then the fans retweet it, and it becomes a thing.
Warrior Wednesday brought to you by Porsche of Walnut Creek, a 2016 premier Porsche dealer, and Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922. Manish Mehta, I believe is his name. He covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. Does a nice job. It was like early January. It was like the first week. He had a story where, according to a couple sources, the Jets really loved Mitchell Trubisky. Like right there, something stunk to me. Because who from the Jets had ever met the kid, had ever talked to him, had seriously evaluated him? There had been no Senior Bowl or All-Star game. There had been no combine. There had been no pro day. There had been no meetings. There had been nothing. Yet here comes a report out of New York that the Jets love Mitchell Trubisky and would love to draft him. Like, how do you take that seriously? How do you look at that as anything other than the team trying to create a distraction? And that's what I think it comes down to with Watson. When this all shakes down tomorrow night, low first round, first 10 picks, whatever, who goes number one And who grabs Deshaun Watson?
I think number one is going to be Garrett. It's going to be the defensive end.
To Cleveland.
To Cleveland.
Okay.
And I think that you're hearing a lot. You hear with the 49ers, oh, we like Trubisky. You even heard that. You never hear them talking about they like Watson.
Right.
But it's Trubisky. And then you hear teams like Jacksonville, we like Trubisky. You hear the Niners, or you hear not just the Niners, but you hear Chicago Bears. Oh, it's going to be Trubisky. All these guys are saying certain things. Why? I think that I look at the Niners and all these things, they're looking to say, where's Cleveland in this thing? They know that Cleveland's going to do something, and I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland say, I'm going to jump because we know Watson could go to Florida and all these different things. I would not shock me. All these draft picks that Cleveland has now, they've accumulated a lot of draft picks. They can make this happen to pick one and two. It would not surprise me if Cleveland picked one and two and got Garrett and got the quarterback that they want in Deshaun Watson.
They've got an arsenal, number one, and number two. That'd be great for the Niners. Just keep building your arsenal. Keep stockpiling picks. You are so far away, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you can acknowledge that and understand it, that's half the battle. Now, how do you take advantage of it? Trade back, get a player at 12, stockpile for next year, maybe get an additional first next year when, oh, by the way, Sam Darnold from USC is coming out, someone that is going to be very bankable. More on this in a few seconds. We're going to disappear for a minute, and then we're right back. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.